Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, so important. And a service department, technicians, great, all of them to back it all up. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
No longer fearful, they're on their feet cheering because they know which way this one's going to go. And there's an exclamation point, 16-6, and the long darkness is over at Georgetown.
And we talked about it, Scott, just getting a win and getting that feeling as they snap a 21-game losing streak.
Yeah, Scott Graham with the call last night. Georgetown off the snide. Yikes. 13 in a row they had lost. And they were able to win last night. We'll get to Zach Showers in a moment. I mean, let's face it, Matt. Do you think Showers ought to be big-timing us on this show? What's going on here? What's he doing? Yeah, I worry about this. You know, we could bring the suit in for this segment. What do you think? No?
I could get him.
No, I mean to host it. No, I'm just kidding.
S-U-I-T. That spells suit.
G-O-N-E. Gone.
There you go. But Zach is here ready to go for us.
Of course he is. Hey, Zach, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about yourself, Steve?
Great. So you get into playoff football. How did you like the way they responded? And what really was a good 2-3 matchup?
I was very impressed. Talking about this game, honestly, I feel like it's probably the most complete game that Selinge Grove has played over the last 3 years. I know that sounds like a big statement, but, man, they came out from day one. I think they felt a little disrespected by everybody picking Milton to win this game. They came out, they played physical football, they ran the football extremely well, and honestly, they didn't get away from that. Sometimes it's really easy in today's, spread offenses and throwing the ball over the place. They just kept lining up, pounding the ball with Tucker Teets, who went for over 165 yards and a touchdown. And defensively, Milton really could not muster anything. Selinge Grove did not allow Milton to pick up a first down until the second to last play of the first half, and we only had three more the rest of the game. So overall, it was just a very focused effort by the Seals, and really just domination from the first snap to the end of the game.
And you do something now, it's a short week. Out of nowhere, it becomes a short week. So what did that do to change how Selinge Grove goes about its business to get ready for what is now a Thursday night game and not Friday?
Yeah, I don't know if it changed as much as what you think. Obviously, you know, losing a day of practice, there might be a few things here and there that you're not able to do. But with the number of times that Selinge Grove and Jersey Shore have played each other over the past couple of years, especially on a Jersey Shore end, they are pretty much the same team as far as what they run offensively as they've done the past couple years.
Right.
Defensively, you know, they run a pretty aggressive 5-2. So, you know, obviously, you would like maybe an extra day to get a few extra reps if, you know, you have some new formations or new packages on defense. But overall, you know, talking to the coaches, it honestly doesn't change as much as you'd think, you know, having that short week.
All right, so let's talk about the matchup, all right? What matchups need to go Sealands Grove's way this time?
Well, in the first matchup, they lost 63-0 and were really just out of it. I think first and foremost, you're going to need to be able to limit Jersey Shore's run game. They are a team that rushed for over 400 yards against Sealands Grove the first time around. And you're not expecting to totally stop them, but you do need to try to shorten the game a little bit and to be able to, you know, at least limit some of those big plays. I keep track of explosive plays on a week-to-week basis, and Jersey Shore had 14 of them to zero that Sealands Grove had. So just being able to, you know, try to limit that and to put them into, you know, some third and long situations as opposed to, you know, third and short or even, you know, third and four or five where pretty much the entire playbook's open. So that's going to be a big thing defensively. Offensively, when Sealands Grove played them the first time around, they were out without quarterback Mark Pastore, who was out with an injury. They were without 1,000-yard running back Tucker Teets. And you had Gavin Bastian, a sophomore wide receiver who's had a phenomenal year, was playing quarterback. So you're really looking to get some balance with those three guys. I think it's a game where you're going to have to make a couple big plays in the passing game. But really, Sealands Grove needs to try to continue to establish that run game. Tucker Teets has been really good since coming back from the injury. The offensive line has really settled in nicely. There's been a couple changes across there, but for the most part, it's been the same crew the past couple weeks. So you're hoping to just be able to establish the running game. And then, of course, all the little things that we talk about on a week-to-week basis, like turnovers. You know, this is not a game that you can afford to turn the ball over three or four times. You might not be able to afford to turn the ball over, honestly, once or twice. So to maybe come out positive on that end and to be able to grab a few against a team that really takes care of the ball, but also not put the ball on the ground or, you know, in their hands is going to be big for this matchup tomorrow night.
All right, so now this is subtle, but, you know, what about the ability maybe to score first and then start playing with the lead, considering they didn't score at all the first time?
Yeah, I think that would give this team a lot of confidence. I know this is a team. This is a game where no one is saying Sealands Grove really has a chance in. But to be able to get some points early, I know Jersey Shore is a team that's going to come right back at you. I'm pretty confident in that. But, you know, to be able to get some good things early, even last year in a game that eventually spiraled out of control, Sealands Grove very much stayed with Jersey Shore for the first quarter, but they didn't take advantage of any opportunities in field position or turnovers. So to be able to get something positive from the beginning and put a little bit of pressure on Jersey Shore, frankly, Jersey Shore hasn't had much pressure on them this year. They've scored almost 700 points and, you know, have a number of shutouts and just blowout wins. So, yeah, I think that's something if Sealands Grove can get some momentum, you know, you hope that you can take this game into the second half and then the fourth quarter and see what happens from there.
What's been fun about the Sealands Grove team? You're around them all the time. What makes them a fun group?
Yeah, so there's a couple things. I think this is a team that has faced a lot of resiliency. They're not a team that's blown out of their opponents. And I think, you know, as you've seen from a week-to-week basis, it's nice following a team that if they get down, you know that they're not just going to fold up and go home. So they're a team that, regardless of whatever situations they're in, you know, they're gonna continue fighting, you know, from the first snap to the end of the snap. You know, defensively, to be honest, I love watching this 3-5 defense. Every year it's different faces. There's new guys plugging in. But it's a team that, you know, flies all over the place. They make plays. They make splash plays. And then offensively, they're a bit old school lately. And it's kind of fun to watch, too. You know, they're not afraid to line up and run straight at you and turn it into a physical football game. And honestly, knowing some of the guys, there's some interesting and fun personalities anytime you're covering high school football. And being a teacher in the district and seeing some of the same students that I had, you know, 6-7 years ago is also a lot of fun to just see some of the same personalities that you saw when they were younger.
Zach, always a pleasure. You do a great job and appreciate everything you do and the time you're giving us.
Absolutely. Thanks as always, Steve.
All right. That'll be tomorrow night. 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock the air time. Yeah. With the rain coming in on Friday, and it looks like it's going to be very heavy. From Nicole, they moved it up to tomorrow. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Dynamic highlights, didn't you think?
Always.
Yeah, sure. All right. I mean, do you really think I take myself that seriously?
No.
Come on. No. I always love what people in this business, I mean, there'll be some. All the people we have on are just cool people like Tim and guys like that. But there are some people that they take themselves so seriously. I don't mean the people we have on. Right. You sit there like, okay, like we're doing sports here. Okay. We're not negotiating and trying to figure out whether we should be sitting around a round table or a square table. Hey, I got to tell you a funny one about next week. So I see Ben Kerr at practice last night. And Ben does a lot of work, but part of the job he does is he's in charge of the travel. And I said, hey, Ben, I said, I don't want you guys to get stuck with this. I said, you cancel my room at Rutgers. He goes, oh, okay. He says, yeah, I'm going to be in Charleston. I'm flying up on my own. He says, you know, so he says, oh, where are you going to stay? I said, nah, I'll probably stay at the airport Marriott. He looks at me, he says, Steve, that's where we're staying. We're staying at the airport Marriott. I said,
oh, my almighty.
I said, Ben? He says, yeah. I said, don't cancel my room.
There you go. Sometimes things go in your favor.
It's like, holy mackerel. I'm like, good. Because I had not set the room yet. I was just going to, like, do whatever. I just thought that was the easiest place to go. I said, in fact, I'll get a hold of you. I need an extra night. So, because I'll need Saturday night. And part of it is I don't know when we're playing. You know, I don't know what time we're playing on that Saturday, but that's for next week. But I just thought that was so funny. I'm like, all right, like, okay. Yeah. Because we don't get this stuff in advance. I don't know in advance where we're staying. I can guess sometimes where we're staying. But you got to remember that 2 years ago, we didn't stay with the team because of COVID. So we had to do everything on our own as to where we stayed. And I'd forgotten that they were at the airport Marriott because we weren't with them. Like, okay. I'm like, it worked out great. That's one less thing checked on. I don't need to do that. Don't need to do that at all. All right. Well. Then tomorrow we've got do the talk show with James, do this show, then go over, check out a couple things with Jack at practice, boom, and then go over to the field, do the show with James, do the pregame show with James, and then get on my horse and get over to the Jordan Center. So Joe Putnam will open the game tomorrow because the game's at 7. It'll probably be like the under 16 or somewhere there, and then I'll take over after that. As I said on the broadcast the other day, I said, I have to remember that the police escort is in front of me, not in back of me. If it's in back of me, that's bad news.
Exactly.
Like, that's a nice light you got on there. Whoops. Yeah. Yeah, always got to remember that. It's one of the keys. Always remember that the police escort is in front of you. It's not in back of you. That's what I should talk to Monica, see if Monica would, like, zip me over there. You know, with, like, the lights on and everything. I think she'd do it. I do. So, you know, it was on this date in 1984 that Larry Bird and Dr. J exchanged punches on the floor. And they ended up being fined, at that point, the largest fine in NBA history, which was like $7,500 a piece in 1984. And can you imagine in the NBA office, like, some knucklehead, I think they ought to be suspended. You want us to suspend Larry Bird and Julius Erving? Yeah, they fought. Let's see here. Let's look at tickets. Let's look at sales. I think a hefty fine would be good. What do you guys think? Oh, amazing how those decisions are made, and they're so practical along the way. So practical. Ah. All right. So, yeah, the recruiting class came out today. Iams, Kerry Booth, and Braden Shrewsbury. And that's, you know, the ability to stack classes is so important. And again, they've been able to do that. And that's what football's doing right now. Football's in the process of stacking recruiting classes. I mean, it means so much when you can do that. And that's what football is doing, and that's what now basketball is doing. It's so important. Brittany Griner, this is bad. I mean, it's getting worse by the day. She's being transferred to a Russian penal colony. And this is the move that her family has dreaded since her conviction on drug charges. They don't know where she is. They don't know where she's heading. But the transfer began Friday, and the transfer is happening faster than they thought it was going to happen. They thought it was going to be weeks or maybe a few months before she was transferred. No. As you would expect, Russian penal colonies are known for having far harsher conditions than the Moscow jail where Kreiner has been since she was detained in February. What an awful deal. I mean, because, you know, we all know that, I mean, they're treating her as if she's a pawn. She's a human being. You know, but this is the game that the Russian government plays all the time. They play these games all the time. And right now she's the one that's in the middle. It's awful. You know, we can talk about, you know, should she have been carrying stuff, whatever. Who cares? Okay, really. You deserve to be in a Russian penal colony for this? Really? I mean, let's use common sense here. But it's awful. And who knows how long she's going to be there. So she pleaded guilty to smuggling charges in July. They thought that that would help maybe accelerate her getting out. And if anything, it hasn't. And, again, they don't know where she is. Now, remember, Paul Whelan is still there, too, and he's been there longer. Whelan's been there 3 years longer. So she was arrested in February. That was 9 months ago. He's been there for 3 years longer, so it's almost 4 years for him. And I don't want Paul Whelan's name to be lost in all this because of the length of time that he's been there. I know she's the big name. He's just as important. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Jeff Byers up next here in the Sunbury Motors studio.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory. With the Sunbury Motors Guarantee and a great service department that backs all of this up at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Wrestling season is on the horizon. Lock Haven, the opener. So, joining us here in the Sunbury Motors studio, it is great to have the outstanding play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, Jeff Byers. Great you were able to find your way to the studio. Great.
Well, thanks. Nice to be here.
Glad you could find your way back to the studio.
I vaguely remember the trip.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Every team takes on its own personality, its own entity along the way. Now, there are plenty of returners, but in other areas, you know, what could define maybe the personality of this team beyond the ones that people already know about?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, Steve, because I do think, obviously, expectations are very high, and I think there's a lot of excitement around some of the newcomers, and a guy like Bo Bartlett will be dropping to his more natural weight class, but I don't think there's a whole lot of certainty about exactly what you have at this stage of their careers with guys like Alex Facundo. I mean, you know the potential is there, and I think at some point we're going to be talking about him at least contending for an NCAA final spot, but is that something he can achieve this year? I think it's within the realm of possibility, but I don't know folk style exactly where he fits in a really tough weight class. I mean, he's a special talent, and he's got all of the right makeup that you want for a kid to be great. But I think, you know, Shane Van Ness is in much the same mode where you know they're going to get there at some point, and you know they're going to be competitive pretty much out of the gate, but are they going to win those matches against the top five, six guys early in the season? I don't know. I think it's going to be fun to see. And I think this team is going to be fun to watch and just kind of see how it develops and who kind of fits in where. I'm curious to see, as the season goes along, how they use the five dates now that they have. And, you know, might you see a Levi Haynes in a dual meet in a pinch hit spot? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see kind of how all of that plays out. I think the team is a fun team. I think there's a lot of neat personalities. Obviously, the fans know Roman and Carter and the personalities they bring, and you know, Max Dean and Aaron Brooks. So I think they have a nice mix of different personalities, established leadership, and then some guys that, again, you know are going to be good. Just how good, how soon, I think, is going to be the interesting part to see.
Because of COVID years, every sport is older right now. That will eventually start to change. Finally, you'll get past the additional COVID years, and then things will then fall back into whatever we perceive to be normalcy. So it was the oldest NCAA championship probably last year, which brought with it some phenomenal competition
Is that the way it is this year? Older and phenomenal competition at every weight class?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of really intriguing weights where, for example, I think Carter Starace and Makai Lewis, at least going into the season, it feels like those two probably are ahead of the rest of the field a little bit. But, man, you've got two really motivated, really talented guys, and they're going to meet at least once here in the All-Star meet right at the start of the season, but could obviously meet again with a lot more on the line in March. And I think at every weight class, you at least have a couple of guys that you're excited about seeing and how they match up. And I think at several weights, I mean, I think 165 is a really intriguing weight class. I think heavyweight with Greg Kirkfleet, I mean, he's going to be right in the mix, right? But I think there's, you know, probably four guys there that if things break right, you figure could be a national title contention. Roman Bravo Young will renew his rivalry, such as it is, with Dayton Fix, and I think there's a lot of really veteran intriguing matchups, and I think you're going to see some of them right out of the gate with that All-Star meet, Steve, and I think it's a really neat thing that they've brought that back. I think Flow Wrestling deserves a lot of credit. They were, I think, pretty creative in making it an attractive event for the top wrestlers to compete in, and a couple of Penn State's kids opted out, but I think it's there's a lot of really good matchups in that event, and I think right out of the gate that's going to get fans talking about the possibilities down the road.
But it's good that's at the front. I don't want it at the back.
Yeah.
And that's we were talking earlier about Penn State football and about you get to this time of the year and everybody has bumps and bruises, and we've talked about Dan Monthly and the great job that he does with Penn State wrestling. I also feel the way Cale schedules, there's the intelligence to it as to how he handles the end is a separator with other programs across the country, because I just think he just gets it at that time of the year.
No, there's no question. And it's funny, I did an interview for a columnist earlier today, and we were talking about the, quote-unquote secret sauce of Cale's program's success. And there's a multitude of things, obviously, that go into it, but one of the primary things is that they certainly have the formula for getting their guys to peak and to feel fresh and energetic at the Big Tens and especially at Nationals. And, there's a lot of thought that goes into the schedule. First and foremost, with that in mind, that how do we develop the kids and get them to peak and hit different competition and get different looks during the season and be ready for the postseason. But also, I think Cale does feel an obligation to try to grow the sport. And I think, Penn State obviously is the biggest draw and has been since Cale arrived here. And so, they try to get to different parts of the country. They try to get out west at least, once every 4 years.
Oh, they've gone to Utah
often.
Valley State.
Yeah.
He tried to help save the BU program by going up there, sold out Arganis Arena, the whole thing.
No, I think that's kind of neat. And, this Lock Haven meet coming up Friday is kind of an interesting thing, because they had a team that they were supposed to wrestle, and it just some things didn't work out. And Scott Moore said, man, we'd love the artist, Cale or Cody, I don't know for sure who called them up initially, but Scott jumped at it. And I think that's, that's the other thing, is you're trying to keep in mind, there's the history with Lehigh, and they've obviously respected that rivalry and continued it year in and year out. But listen, I mean, Pitt, Penn, every Pennsylvania wrestling program wants to have Penn State on the schedule, because they know it's an automatic sellout, and it's a great opportunity for their kids to face the premier program in the country, too.
The EWL. So Bloomsburg, Edinburgh, Lock Haven,
Clarion, the whole
Clarion, all of them. I mean, that's all part of the old EWL. And so, Pitt was a part of it, West Virginia.
Yep.
That's fine. There are roots to the sport, and I think it's great to respect the roots
for sure. Yeah, and I think they're wrestling Ryder at a bigger arena this year, and I think that'll be fun because there's obviously a huge alumni base in New Jersey for Penn State and really high school wrestling and Rutgers is wrestling is really big now in New Jersey. So I think that's going to be a neat opportunity before they wrestle Lehigh that weekend. So there's just some, they try to do some neat different things with the schedule each year, but always in mind is how do we best prepare these kids for postseason success.
In the room, where's the best competition taking place to fight for the right to be there, which then conversely means who doesn't ends up going to tournaments?
Right. Yeah, I think there's going to be a couple. I mean, I think the lineup is pretty well established right now. 125, there's a couple of guys that I think are still in the mix there. Gary Steen will get the start this week, yeah. I think is likely the guy moving forward. But I think there's some good competition there. And I think 49 is Shane Van Ness is definitely the starter, but I think there's some depth building there, and that 57-65 neighborhood, I think, with Barraclough, obviously you have Levi Haynes waiting in the wings there, but you have I think Joe Lee maybe with some renewed focus, and obviously right. Alex Facundo, I think, is Facundo has a chance to be really special. And again, I'm just kind of curious to see early kind of exactly where he fits in right now in the national picture.
Bo Bartley going to his natural weight. What can that mean for him?
I'm really excited to see what it means for him, Steve, because I think it means he's going to wrestle with just a different level of confidence. And I think he worked on it, and I think the effort was there at 49. I just don't know that he ever truly believed that he was capable of being a national champion at 149. He definitely believed that about himself at 141. Now, he's going to have to score more points than he did the last couple of years, and I think, how much of the struggles to score consistently at 49 were the fact that you're up a weight class, and how much of it is just, he's got to get out of his own way and just open up and let it fly. I think we'll find out early this season because, 41 is, there's no question that's the weight that he feels most comfortable and confident at. And I think in the room you're seeing some good things with the way he's developing his offense, but I think there's three or four guys that, again, what the potential is and the possibilities are, but kind of how that actually develops and where they're at right now relative to the top guys in the country, I think it's just going to be interesting to see. And we've talked about it over the years, different guys kind of hit at different times. It comes together. I'm not sure, watching in the room, you sometimes get a feel, all of these guys, again, are doing some good things. I don't have a real good feel for, okay, they are definitively going to win against, right, everybody but maybe the top couple, or listen, they're going to be competitive against everybody in the top 12, but anybody there could go either way. And I think that's going to be kind of the fun part of this thing, is seeing where they're at here in the first couple of months and then what kind of progress you can visibly see over the course of the next couple of months.
You love your job. You're great at your job. All right. But what has this era been like for you after broadcasting all the years where, yeah, there have been some national champions, there have been some top five finishes, individual national champions. What has this era been like for you to sit there and chronicle this?
Yeah, it truthfully is a little surreal because it is, yeah. For years, right? I was started with Coach Lorenzo and with Fritz and Sunderland, and the goal was obviously always, with all of those coaches, we want to win a national title. And they were close a few times as a team and had some great individuals and outstanding talent. But to go from that, where you're climbing the hill, you're getting close, you're just not quite there, to you are following the premier program, no question about it, in the country. And
probably in college sports, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and the fun thing, Steve, is, I mean, obviously the winning is always fun. It makes it easier for the for everybody involved to enjoy it.
It makes the postgame show easier.
Yeah, but listen, I've always, I mean, I really did. I've enjoyed from day one the opportunity. And I really have loved the kids over the years and the families I've gotten to know. But what this era, the winning is certainly a whole lot of fun, but what really is, you know, when I'm on my deathbed, I'm thinking back on my broadcasting career with the wrestling team, it's going to be the relationships with these kids and with their families and the caliber of people that they are. And, you know, I don't know if they... I don't know if being a great person leads you to be a great wrestler or vice versa or whatever it is, but all of these guys, I mean, Zane Rutherford, for as great a wrestler as he is, he's a better person. David right. Taylor, Bo Nickel, I mean, you say the same thing about all these guys. Jason Nolf is, I mean, you're not going to find a better right. human being. And so, I mean, it's been fun and surreal to watch this team do what it's been doing, but it's really been neat to just... see the caliber of individual, and obviously it starts with Kale and Casey and Cody and the caliber of people that they are and the families they come from. But it's just a really neat experience. And yeah, I say I've enjoyed my entire ride, but yeah, this has been special for a bunch of different reasons, including, yes, the fact that you're watching some all-time greats compete.
What's it been like going on the road and realizing you're the show? Like, you are sitting there, and look, because the attendance is different.
There's no question. And and the enthusiasm in the buildings are different.
So
and
what's it been like to see that?
Yeah, it's been really cool. I mean, when I obviously started, Iowa was that, and it was always cool when Iowa came into Rec Hall,
sure.
and you saw and felt that experience, and you saw a legend in Dan Gable and all of the legends that he had wrestling for him. And it is fun to, and I do, I will sit back sometimes after the broadcast and I'm watching, you know, the kids in these away gymnasiums line up, and to their everlasting credit, every coach on this team and every kid on this team will stay in the gym until all of the kids that want autographs have them. And it is. It is really neat to see. And again, it's not just that they're winning; it's that they're winning with some pizzazz and doing it by scoring a lot of points and an exciting style of wrestling. And I think that is something that is appreciated by visiting fans and you know the. Anywhere Penn State goes, I think there is at least an appreciation, including places like Iowa and Oklahoma State, because they love good wrestling. And I think there is an appreciation for the way these guys compete and the style of wrestling that they bring out.
Well, there's a great appreciation for the job you do. Well, and so you are greatly appreciated here and also by the fans who listen all the time. So.
Well, I am very, very fortunate, and I'm very aware of how fortunate I am to have the job I have. And it's it really is. It's just a whole lot of fun to be around this program and these guys during this era. And as I keep telling fans, you never – I mean, it's been a great ride. I'm not expecting things to change anytime soon. The recruiting trail's been going okay for Kale again lately. But, man, you never know. I mean, things can change quickly in college sports. And so, you know, anytime I'm talking to the fans, it's just like, man, and sit back and truly enjoy what you're seeing, because this is truly rare and special stuff.
Yeah, I always – my Kale Sanderson joke is always the same, where I tell people – he comes in for a home visit, and the family goes, "It's Kale Sanderson." I think we got him.
Yeah.
So, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Jeff Byers here in the Sunbury Motors studio. We'll wrap it up in a moment. Probably a couple of interesting anecdotes about Matt's kids. Try to endure them if you can. It's like watching home movies here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right.
Every time that plays, my feelings move. All right.
Do you know he can now fully sing Fly Eagles Fly? And I truly feel like an accomplished, proud dad.
All right. I can just see.
And he wanted to sing it, too.
I can just see one listener after another now flocking to find other things to do. This is the equivalent of home movies. And here we are at the ocean. And here's little Luke and Mark. Look at their Halloween costumes. Click. Here we are at Thanksgiving. Click. Here we are on vacation. Click. That's the equivalent of a hostage situation on the air. I mean, really. I know you're proud of them. I don't blame you. But there are limits. I mean, I was kind of hoping like he understood nuclear fission at this point. Fly Eagles Fly is kind of a low bar.
Well, if he understands that, then we'll get the scholarship money going the other way.
Fly Eagles Fly, you're not going to get any scholarship money from anywhere.